called the lobby. Test some of the olive, they have a mic. Omar, you do the radio, Shmuel Bashelas. Shmuel the Rav. Shmuel Bashelas is a very famous Talmud of Rav. And Rav Yehuda's son said in his name, in the name of Rav, Kishem. Shem Mishenichnas Ob Matin Besimcha, Ka Kishenichnas Ador Marvin Besimcha. Just as we find in the Mishnah, Mishenichnas Ob Matin Besimcha, is Mishenichnas Ador Marvin Besimcha. So I can understand there's a notion of Mishenichnas Ador Marvin Besimcha, as Rashi says. It's been a very auspicious time for the Jewish people, a time of tremendous Nisan. But what did he need a Mishnah for? Hashem shav mishanichnas ov v'vatim b'simcha kach mishanichnas ador marvim b'simcha. Hashem. Just as the Mishnah told me, that Mishenichnas Ov Mematim Besimcha. So Rabbos Bechadish. From that I learned the new halacha. Kach! Mishenichnas Ador Marvim Besimcha. And without the Mishnah, you wouldn't have known Mishenichnas Ador Marvim Besimcha. At the time, it's an even simcha, the Klal Yisro. What did he learn from this Mishnah? It is Kishen. What did he discover in the Mishnah? The answer to the question is a very, very important one. Life is lived normally. We try to on a very even keel. We try. That's our baseline. Anything outside that we view as a departure. We're always struggling to get back to that baseline. Maybe it's an exercise of futility, we had a quest, but nevertheless, it's what we strive for. But when we live in that fashion, if we only lived in that fashion, we're limited. We don't have the emotional and intellectual openness to really make new discoveries and to move ourselves, to touch ourselves. A very experienced Rav once said that a Rav is a salesman. When is the best time to make sales? When people are in very emotional states. So either be in Simcha or be in Eivah. Those are the times that you can be the most effective salesman. Because people are most open. But you touch them, they're deeply touched at that time. The quest in life is to rise above the mundane, to experience things with a heightened sensitivity, with a heightened awareness. So the Tana told us in the Mishnah, "Mishenichnas ov mamatin b'simcha." It's just not, can't go about it, same old, same old. It's a different type of awareness that we need. It's an awareness of the din, of the midas hadin. But it's a connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And Rabbi Gogol in Yerushalayim once told me the following. I believe there's a smach for it in the Eicha Rabba, such a mahalach. Shiftecho mishantecho heimo yinachamuni. So mishantecho, we understand, bishenes. The Rabbeinu Shalom is a support person, as a cane. Supports him. What's Shivtecha though? Shivtecha is the staff. You have a patch with the staff. So what's the pshat? Shivtecha mishantecha. The mishantecha, I understand. Shivtecha mishantecha, he may not have money. But what's Shivtecha? So we said, Moshe l'mohador v'doima. A sheep runs off into the forest, away from the flock. And it suddenly realizes that it's alone. And it's bewildered and frightened. The shepherd takes count of his flock and he sees one is missing. So he traces after it and he finds it in the forest. takes a staff and he smacks it across the shoulders. So on one hand there's a sting, but on the other hand the sheep is comforted, the shepherd is here. When the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us a patch, it stings, but we know the Rabbeinu Shalom is present. It's a very startling insight. So one of the figures, and I don't know enough about him, but more and more that I learn about him, I know people that knew him, I'm amazed. The Klosenberg Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha. He was a super goyim. He wasn't just a Talmud Chacham. He was a super goyim in learning. Yet his Hasogas and his Amuna were no less great. And he made this following startling statement. What's remarkable, a person to have such depth of amunah, such insight, it's a person who barely survived the Holocaust himself, who lost a wife and 11 children in the Holocaust. And he said, in the midst of the camps, I saw the Rabbeinu Shalom. Where did you see the Rabbeinu Shalom? He says, I want to ask you something. He says, Derech HaTeva, how would you define Derech HaTeva? Derech HaTeva means sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail. That's Derech HaTeva. To always be successful, that's Lamayda Derech HaTeva. To always fail is also Lamayda Derech HaTeva. He says, what I observed, he said, is that we made many, many plans of how to escape from the camps. And none of them succeeded. Everyone to be foiled. He says, we dug a tunnel once, it went out under the fence, out into the forest outside, and like the next night we were going to run out and run off into the forest and escape. And what happened that night? There was a huge rainstorm, huge, a deluge, and the tunnel collapsed. And it broke open, it became obvious there was a tunnel under it. He says, to always fail, he says, is also the Levi Lamadarach. In the din, he saw the Rabbeinu Shalom. Mishenichnis or mematin b'simcha is to see the Rabbeinu Shalom in din, in midas adin. And that's what Rav said. If the Tana of the Mishnah tells me that I need a special avodah at the most difficult time of the year, of Tisha B'Av, that I should accentuate my regish of sensing, being accommodating myself to an awareness of the din, that it's a sad time, it's a time of evil, and from the evil to explore the Rabbeinu Shalom, then at the time of year of the greatest Hatzloch on the Jewish calendar, of Adar and Nisan, of the Yimei Nisan, to also have to accentuate the sensitivity. And how does that come? That comes mitoch simcha. Joy transcends ourself. It rises above the mundane. We have two times in the Torah that we have parshiyos of Shira. We have the Shiras Hayom, and we have Shiras Hazin. The Shiras Hayom, I understand. It's a Shira. Triumphant moment in the history of Klal Yisrael. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, the climactic moment in leaving Mitzrayim, the phenomenal Nisim of the Yom, an awesome Shir. But what Shira says, you know? It's a pretty grim tale. Of how the Rabbeinu Shalom punished us and he sent us into Golus and we suffered in the Golus. Oh, at the end is a note, finally, that we'll creep out of this. Okay. But where's the Shira of the end? Where's the Shira of Azim? Shira is to emotionally transcend ourselves. The Shira mitoch Simcha, and the Shira to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in difficult times, to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's hand in the unfolding history of the world around us, but a sensitivity to the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And Shira, we connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We connect on a daily basis with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam through the Shira Psukei D'Zimra. That's the hand of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in Teva, in the natural world around us. To look at the world through the eyes of Avraham Avinu. The world is too wondrous a place for it to have happened by chance. Avraham Avinu said intellectually, the mind rebels at the thought. Even the secular world around us starting to dance. Right? They're starting to admit there's some design to the world. Not a designer, but design. A very strange proposition. You go and you see a beautifully executed building with tremendous aesthetics. So there's design, but there's no designer. Strange thought. But the world is too much in the world to deny that there's some level of design to the world. So the Psuka Dezim will makir the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the Teva. Shiras Hayom will makir the Rabbeinu Shel Olam l'mayla m'derachat, outside the realm of Teva. We incorporated. Interesting. It comes really from the Rambam. It's a whole shayla where it's supposed to be. In the Rambam, apparently, the Shiras Hayom was after Yishtabach. That's what it seems. I don't believe in the. Why? Because it really doesn't fit into Psukei D'Zimra. The Shiras Hayom is for Nisan. What we're saying is that we have different ways that we experience the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. In Teva and in this. For whatever reasons, we flipped it back, put it as the end of the Psukei D'Zimra. But the question is, there's a Vaida from different perspectives. There's a Vaida of evil. There's a somber look at the world. A person can't live in a somber state all the time, but at times a person could be somber. And there's a perspective on the world that we see from that standpoint. There's a perspective on the world that we see on Tisha B'Av. It's not a perspective that we could conceivably live with the whole year, but it's a perspective. The halacha mandates that we have that perspective. The halacha mandates that we have a perspective of simcha. It's a different way to look at the world. A different way to look at the world. There's the avodah mitoch the evil of Tisha B'Av, and there's the avodah mitoch the simcha of Adar. Mitoch the simcha, we experience the world in a different fashion, a different style. We connect with the same Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but in different ways, from different windows. And it's interesting, in the Mishnichnas Alma Matam Simcha, there's a whole body of halacha that's associated with it. Mamasa Bamata Umatan and Binyan Shel Simcha, we don't make, you know, lavish, beautiful buildings, plantings at this time. A whole body of halacha. We avoid all types of, all manners of simcha. We don't have any halachas. Or as an eitzah, yeah? The Gemara says if we have a din Torah with a member not of our faith, it's a good thing to take him in Adon. That's not a halacha, that's just good business advice. Eitzah tov. but what's the point? What's the lemaisa of mishenichnas adam marv v'simcha? I think the lemaisa is to engage life around us b'simcha, and all manner of simcha. But for what reason? On one end is the simcha mazoisa. Shlomo HaMelech says, simcha is insignificant. And sometimes Shlomo HaMelech, as the Gemara says, praises simcha. The simcha, which is self-centered, focused upon ourselves, and simcha, which is focused on the Rabbeinu Shalom. Every person needs a certain measure of simcha, but the goal of simcha is to connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the goal. To experience the joy of the Rabbeinu Shalom's presence, the joy of the Rabbeinu Shalom's chesed. The Ramchal writes, is an enigma that the Ramchal addresses. It sort of parallels the same enigma in a certain regard, is how could there conceivably be a mitzvah of Amuna? You believe or you don't believe. How could there be a mitzvah of Amuna? The mitzvah of tefillin, yeah. I get up on the one, I put on tefillin, there's a mitzvah. But Amuna is something you have to have. You don't even have a mitzvah of Amuna. When it comes to mitzvahs, we have a similar enigma in a certain regard. What did the Nevi'im decry more than anything else in Asiyas HaMitzvahs? If it's mitzvahs Anoshim Olumodah, we do it by rote. There's no passion in the mitzvah. No chiyas, no enthusiasm. Oh. But what happens if I don't have enthusiasm? Where's it going to come from? If I have enthusiasm, I can go do the mitzvahs with enthusiasm. But I'm not such a person. I don't have enthusiasm. You know, you have in your corporation, you have a few people that are cheerleaders. They're always rah-rah. And most of the rest of us, you know, go about our business, you know. And we look a little bit askance at those guys, you know. like, when are they going to grow up, you know? So where's it going to come from? If you have, that's your personality. You have it within you. You have it. Some people have it. That's the way they are. Most of the world doesn't come packaged that way. So where's it supposed to come from? And if I don't have it, so how can you ask me that my avodah should reflect it? So here the Ramchal tells us a very, very fascinating idea, which really goes to the Yisoid, the Sefer HaChinuch's Yisoid. We are what we do. The Chovei Salavovitz writes, for example, that why is there such depth of feeling about one's children? Well, there are all the natural reasons. It's my own flesh and blood, it's me, it's etc. But it goes way beyond that. He says, all the tircha, all the effort that we have to put in, that we invest in raising them, makes this a very significant part of our life. If I take a business and I spend 40 years building it, and I work yom v'layla around the clock for 40 years, this is not something I can just, okay, I'll turn the key and walk away and leave it behind. It's me. The effort that we put into our children connect us with them in a very different way. So the Ramchal writes, it's true in mitzvahs too, that if a person doesn't have the enthusiasm, so what should he do? So in life, there's two ways you can go about things. You know, you can go about things in a schleppy fashion, you know, you muddle through. Or, a mature person says, listen, I have a job to do. If I have a job, I'm going to do it well. If whatever, my boss is on my nerves, whatever, the company, but right now I have a job to do. So I'm going to do the job well. That's what I'm about. So I go and I see what is necessary and I put all my efforts into it to do the job the right way. So Ramchal says, if we go about mitzvahs in that fashion, sometimes we lead with the head and not with the heart. Yeah, it tells me this is important to do. If it's important to do, I'm going to do it in the right fashion. If I expend the effort to do it in the right fashion, the investment and the effort will, in time, create the inner enthusiasm for it. Which is the ultimately to say for a chinuch's notion about ma'aseh ha-mitzvos. What are we in life? We are what we do. That's why it's not enough to just have beliefs. Beliefs don't stand the test of time. Unless they're linked to concrete things that we do in life. We live a concrete life. I get up in the morning and I do certain things. And that's ultimately what life is. So the ma'aseh ha-mitzvos is that there are concrete things that I do. What I do, that's what I am. So we can come, simcha, joy comes internally and it comes externally. Internally, joy comes, Ramchal also writes this, from experiencing the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shimon. Focus on the chesed that I receive from the Rabbeinu Shimon. Stop to think of all the things that I have that don't have to be. That don't have to be. So I start to appreciate what the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom is. And he says it's true of every person, the Ramchal. If a person is extremely successful in life, so he certainly has what to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for. And he says if a person is on the other end, if he's extremely unsuccessful, so the fact that he lives and he survives, how does that take place? History tells us that's also not to be taken for granted. It doesn't have to be. That's also a chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So, the avoda of Adar is to focus on the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Chesed, first and foremost, as Rashi tells us, Yimei Nisim Hoyu L'Yisrael Purim Pesach. The miraculous events that took place in Jewish history. And these are ongoing. You know, when I think of the Ramban and the Kiddush of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, to me that's not only Yetzias Mitzrayim. That means the presence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in history. All the way until today. I told you times before, it's a notion of the Chayvetz HaLevavetz, but the Yavetz is a very, very long preface to the Siddur. Near the beginning, in the first number of pages, he makes a most remarkable statement. Roshiva Zatzal used to quote this often. He said, the Yavetz writes, if you wish to see Nisim, which surpassed the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, examine the survival of the Jewish people of the Golos. And you see Nisim that are greater than the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When we look back, it strikes me now, just as I'm speaking. From 1890 to 1910 was a very, very difficult time in the history of the Jewish people. almost 2 million Jews. In 1850 in Russia, there were 6 million Jews who lived in Russia. This was the seat of the Jewish people in the world. Right? But America, the amount of Jews that are in America today, that's the amount of Jews that were in Russia in 1850. This was the seat of the Jewish people. Between 1890 and 1910, because of the rabid anti-Semitism of the Tsars, 1.9 million people came from Russia. One third of the Jews, one out of every three Jews in Russia, left Russia and moved to America in those 20 years. Now, what would have been their fate if they didn't come? Right? We're not dealing with Jews that lived in Asiatic Russia. No, we're dealing with Jews of the Ukraine, Jews of the Russian heartland. There would have been nothing left of them in the Holocaust. The Rebbeinu Shem forced them to leave and established the Jewish community out of the United States. With all the problems that we have. But Lulaza, there would have been another 2 million victims of the Holocaust. These were all European Jews, not Asiatic Jews. The Nazi monster knocked on the doors of Moscow. Every place where our people lived. The chesed of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, it's miraculous. We can add to the words of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin was once learning a Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Kufi Tes. Reb Aaron Soloveitchik says that at his bar mitzvah, they related this maaseh from Reb Chaim Volozhin. He stems from Reb Chaim Volozhin. That he came to a Gemara and he started to cry. And they asked him why he's crying. So he says he understood from something the Gemara said. He said that the major yeshiv of Klal Yisrael, the next major yeshiv of Klal Yisrael is going to be the United States. He died somewhere, I think, in about 1819, Reb Chaim Volozhin. So he says, so why did I cry? Because I asked myself one question, he says. What could there be that will get so many Jews to leave Russia and go to the United States? It must be the suffering of the Jews will be so enormous that that's going to push them out. So that's why I started to cry. And yet, within that Midas Adin was a tremendous issue. A tremendous issue. So when we want is to look at the survival of the Jewish people as a whole. Number two is to look at our individual survival, the individual story of every family. Every family has a story. How they're alive, why they're here, how they came to Torah Mitzvahs, everyone has a story. The 20th century, the end of the 90s, was so tumultuous that everyone has a story. Nothing exists without a story. And then there's the third thing. The third is to what do we say in Hebrew? Achayinu mesurim yodecha v'nishmasin avukud aslof v'nisecha v'nishlosecha shebechol ha'is. The day by day nisim the Rebbeinu Shalom does for us. The little things. The little things. The little brachas in life. Think about that too. And if we look from that standpoint, comes tremendous simcha. And from that, to ask ourselves, so what's the source of it all? Where's it come from? Kinyan that you make in life, mitoch simcha, is from the deepest bonds that a person has. When we connect with the Rebbeinu Shalom mitoch simcha, it's a different type of kesher. It's a different type of kesher. The problem is that we search for the Rebbeinu Shalom in dark hours, but we don't praise the Rebbeinu Shalom when the sun shines. The Bala Musa taught that these two are interconnected. Where does a person have the strength to feel the Rebbeinu Shalom's presence in the dark hours of life? Is through the praise that it gives to the Rebbeinu Shalom when the sun shines. Then we can make the connection with the Rebbeinu Shalom. If we make the connection, then the connection is established in all situations. Is mishnichnes ador marva b'simcha means to go about life in a manner that we highlight the upbeat. We focus on the upbeat. And the chesed of the Rebbeinu Shalom in all its myriad forms. And it's no less an avodah, as Rav said, than the mishnichnes ador marva b'simcha. Interesting, the halacha left us to our own designs how to achieve it. It did not give a universal formula. But that's the avodah, that's the shenichnas ador marav b'simchas. The focus on the upbeat, the focus on the chesed of the Rebbeinu Shalom and the implications of that chesed. We'll hold it at this point.